Today's shir is Daf Yud Dalet, Masechet Shkolim. We're going to begin with the last words on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah, in mentioning the various administrators or the various jobs in the Beis Hamikdash, said Nechunya Chay Fasichin. Nechunya dug the ditches. Says the Gemara, Shaya Chay Fasichin Ma'aris, he used to dig ditches and caves. Vav Yedeya, and he knew Hay Dein Kif Makar, which ditch gives cold water. Makar Mayan gives cold water. V'haydin kif isbe shavruri, which one has in it heat. V'adhechen shavruse mate, and exactly how hot it gets. Omer Belezer, Rabbi Belezer says, Umeis benoy betzoma, Chananya chayfasichin son died of thirst. Omer Reb Chanina, man to Omer Rachmana Vatrin, whoever says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lax, he just lets people, so to speak, get away with things, Yisvatrun ma'ayu. His stomach, his intestines, will become lax. He'll have stomach problems. Alamarich ruche. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes waits, however, the gavi didei. He collects and he takes in count everything a person does. So the Netziv and the Meshiv Dover explains, what is the Gemara's comparison between HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking what goes on in this world seriously, and someone having a stomach ailment? So he says, if someone overeats, or someone eats something that's boiled, he's going to get sick. Can't avoid it. The same thing he says is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attitude towards Averis. If somebody does an Avera, it's part of the way the world was created that he's going to have to take consequences for the Avera he did. Something that is a natural phenomena. The Mefarshim say, why dafka the stomach? Because the stomach eating represents indulgence. The Averis that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is most makbid on are Averis that come from somebody overindulging, not being able to control himself. But the Mesilas Yesharim asks, we know there's so many psukim, so many concepts throughout Jewish theology that discuss HaKadosh Baruch Hu being a Balarachman, HaKadosh Baruch Hu being a merciful God. And here we're learning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very exact, has very exacting standards. So Mesil Shisharim says that the standards that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, we don't necessarily understand what those standards are. Sometimes he'll wait till a person could do tshuva. Sometimes an Avera which we think is a great Avera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't consider such a great Avera. Sometimes a person's children, if they act properly, one raises a family that acts properly, that serves to counterbalance the averus he does. But the other svarim have a very different approach. The approach that they take is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to look at him as if he doesn't care. You could do averus, you could do mitzvahs. Once a person has the right attitude towards understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes everything into consideration, that's the most important thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. And actually, in Zmiris Friday night, we say a pasuk that's difficult to understand. It says, "Mishoich chazdecha liyodecha." We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be merciful. Kael kanavanoikein. The God that's vengeful and tough, so to speak. So it doesn't make sense. If we're calling HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kana V'noikim, so what are we asking from Moshai Chazdecha? We say, Moshai Chazdecha Lo Yedecha Keil Malay Rachman. Says the Kedushas Levi, Moshai Chazdecha Lo Yedecha Keil Kana V'noikim. You know when we could be worthy of Chesed? If Lo Yedecha Keil Kana V'noikim. If we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kana V'noikim, then we know that there's a Midas Hadin, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will act with us towards Chesed. Because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us. And that actually is pshat in the Birchas HaGoymel. In Birchas HaGoymel we say, HaGoymel Chayovim Toivis. So it doesn't make sense. If we're saying Chayovim, that we're, so to speak, guilty, so what's Toivis that he does for us good? It's not, we don't deserve good, according to the way the Gemara says. But according to the way we just explained, it's beautiful. HaGoymel Chayovim. We recognize that we're Chayovim. We recognize that we follow the Midas HaDin, we should deserve a punishment. When a person comes to that recognition, Toivos, then he could be worthy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be made of him, should be good to him. Baruch Chaim HaKadosh explains that that's the whole concept of bringing a carbon. A carbon was an animal. A person, when he brings a carbon, is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I wasn't a human being when I did this Aveira. I was overcome by some sort of a ruach, because if I was a human and I was doing it consciously, then there's, according to our Gemara, no way out. Continues the Gemara. Amrav Acha, Ksiva Svivav Nishra Ma'od. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very careful with the people around him. Medadek Imam Kechut Asara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very exacting with the people who the tzaddikim. Amrav Yosef Loi Metamez, that's not the basis for this concept. Mimad Ksiv, V'noiruhu Akol Svivav. Ma'ra'al Akroivim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more strict with the people who are close to him, the tzaddikim, Yosef Menor Chaykim. And the Mefarshim explain why the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is stricter with the people who are close to him. One pshat that Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld says is because in a building, the most important part of the building is the foundation. Tzaddikim, the people who are closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are the foundation. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more exacting with them. Another pshat is, tzaddikim should have known better than to do an aveira. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara says that when somebody does tshuva mahava, zedoynos nas lekezochios, all the averis become mitzvahs. So a tzaddik who's going to do a tshuva after Kodesh Baruch Hu acts with him towards the midas adin, then all of his averis will become mitzvahs. So that's why it's worth being, so to speak, stricter with him. One more pshat that I saw is Rashi says at the beginning of Parashas Bereishis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted to create the world with Midas Adin, the exact Midah of judgment. V'rosh en oil miskayim, but he saw that the world can't exist that way. Shitif imay Midas Arachmim. So he combined the Midas Arachmim. But for tzaddikim who can withstand the Midas Adin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept the world as it was with the Midas Adin. Zok, says the Gemara Vayta. Rav Chagi b'shem Rashmu b'Nachman. Mais b'chosalechet shayachoyf v'boris v'sichonim aros l'oivim v'shovim. He was a person that dug ditches for travelers. Pa machas hois abit averus li nosei. His daughter was traveling. V'shot v'nor. And she was drowned. V'avakol ama alon legabe ba'oim menachamte. Everybody came up to console him. V'lo kibalei misnachna. But he refused to be consoled. Or rapinchas bayo legabe. And then rapinchas bayo came to console him. Boy menachme wanted to console him. V'lo kibalei. And he still didn't want to accept it. V'lo kibalei misnachna. Omle, so Rav Pinchas Bar Yoh said, Ben hu chasidchem, is this a pious person that doesn't want to accept the decree of Hashem? Omle, Rabbi, kach v'kach ha yo'isa, this is what he did, and kach irelei, and this is what happened to him. Omle, so Pinchas Bar Yoh said, Efshe shayim chabdes bar b'mayim, he served God with water, v'mekavcha b'mayim, and he should be punished through water, v'yad nafla havar b'ir. Immediately there was a sound. There was news in the town. Basa bita shalitza ish. That person's daughter showed up. Istamri besukse isaris. She held on to a branch, and that she was saved. And now the Mefarshim explained, we understand why he refused to be consoled, because like we know in Rashi says by Yaakov with Joseph, ein mekabum tanchum melachai. We don't accept consolation for somebody still alive. That's why he didn't accept the consolation, because she was really alive. Istamri malach yoder kidmus rapinchas biyor. A malach that looked like Pinchas Bar Yoh came down with Tzila and saved her. Why like Pinchas Bar Yoh? Because Pinchas Bar Yoh gave the reasoning why she should be saved. We learned in the Mishnah Gavini Cruz. Gavini was the person that made the announcements. Shei Machras Be Beis Hamikdash, he used to make announcements. Maya Omer, Imdu Kahanim La'Avoida, Kahanim come to do your Avoida, V'Levim L'Duchnim come to sing, V'Yisrael Ma'amodam, we learned, the Maram Sechta Tana says that Karban Tamid was brought twice a day. The halach is when a carbon is brought, the owners have to breathe air. Who are the owners of the carbon tamid? All of Klal Yisrael. But we can't have all of Klal Yisrael every day. So there were mamodos, people who represented Klal Yisrael. He made the announcement, it's time to come. Says the Gemara, Agrifas HaMelech Shama Kolay, Agrifas heard his voice at Ches Pasos, up to Ches Pasos, V'noson Le'matanis Habe, and gave him a lot of gifts. So Mefarshim say, here it says that his voice was heard till 8 Pasos. The Gemara in Masechta Yuma says that his voice was heard till Tempasos, till Yurichai. So what's Pshat? So one answer is, Agrifas happened to be standing 8 Pasos away, but really his voice traveled Tempasos. Another pshat is, up to Epasos, his voice was clear. Further, it was audible, but not so clear. And a third pshat, it really went up to Epasos. Yericho had a special schuz, because it was the first city in Eretz Yisrael that was captured. That they, even though they were further than Epasos, heard his voice. And there's a tshuva, Shas HaTshuva's Priya Soda, that says, based on this Gemara, says there was a shul that wanted to abolish the minig that they should on Purim clap by the name of Haman. He said it's not proper decorum. So the Priya Soda says, based on this Gemara, sometimes making noise in shul is appropriate. Just like Vini had made noise, had his very loud voice, making noise by Haman is appropriate. Says the Gemara, Ben Gevra Anil Sharm. Ben Gevra was in charge of closing the gates. Tirgum Rav Kamei Debei Rav Shila. Rav was acting as the person who made the announcement. They used to say a shir, and somebody else used to say it out loud, that there's a Mishtam Sechta Yuma. The Mishtam Sechta Yuma says that every day, the first thing that was done in the Beis Hamikdash was Trumas Hadeshen, cleaning away the ashes. And the Mishnah says, when was that done? By Kara Gavra. So he was translating that Mishnah. It says, Kara Gavra, Achris Kruza, that the person made an announcement, the Kahanim should come clean the ash. Amalei, so he told him, Amar Kara Tana Gailu. It doesn't mean when a person made an announcement, it means when the rooster crows. Amalei Vatninan. How can you say that Gavra means a rooster? But Tanina in our Mishnah, it says Ben Gever. And it says Ben Gever. Here in our Mishnah, it certainly means a person. Can you say it means a rooster? He meant, just like in our Mishnah, it certainly means a person. And that Mishnah also means a person, not a rooster. Ben Bevi was in charge of Al-Bakiya. Shahaya Mizayik Psilois. He used to make the wicks. And the Mefarshim explained, what was the big chachma in making wicks? Because they had to have the menorah burn all night. In the winter, the night is much longer. In summer, the light is shorter. He knew exactly how to make the wicks, that you put in the same amount of oil every night, and it should burn that night, no matter if the night was shorter or longer. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi all the Kufra. Rabbi Yossi came to Kufra, bar memanya aleim panosim. They wanted certain people in the city to take on positions in the community. They refused. All Vamakamem. So how did he convince them? He says, Ben Babi al Kapiya. Ben Babi was appointed to take charge of the wicks. Says the Gemara, his job wasn't that difficult. He was just in charge of the wicks. Zochli Monis from Gedolei Hador. His name is for posterity in the Mishnayis, what this position was. Atem, Shatin Snan Malchai Nefoshes. You that will have this much more important position like Koshke. So Mefarshim have two approaches in explaining the Gemara. The Chassam Sofer's approach is that the Medrash says that how was Shaul HaMelech Zoicha to be the first Melech Yisrael, and how was the Vayra worthy of becoming a Neviah, because they made the Psilois for the Beis HaMikdash. So they said, if these people just made the Psilois, look what great things happened to them. Certainly if you'll take on communal responsibility, great things will happen to you. Another pshat that the Mefarshim say is, it says in Pirkei Avos, have a Zon of Larayas, it's better to be at the end, not to be at the head. So they said, we don't want to be at the head. We'd rather just be quiet. So they said, no. When you're worthy, you're supposed to take on position. Just like Ben Bavi took on a position, you too shouldn't try to get out of it. Ben Azal Atzalzal, he was in charge of the symbol. Kiara Tanina Taman, Hainav Hagsagan Besudrin, the assistant Kohen Gadol picked up a flag. Vikish Ben Azal Atzalzal, that was the sign that he should play the symbol. Hogris ben Levi al Ashir, Omra Achan, Ima Yusera Hayudea. He knew how to sing very beautifully. Vomra of a Hogris ben Levi. And we first said, here it says ben Levi, because the singing, we said the other positions could have been done by Yisraelim, but singing has to be done by a Levi. Shemanim as Koil Bezeri could sing very beautiful. Ukshenoyitz Goyd Lebetach Piv. He used to be able to open his mouth. Hayimotzi Kamimin Zemer and sing beautiful songs. And all the other Kahanim would bow back. There's a lot of Peshatim how to learn this. One is that the sound was so powerful, it used to shake him. Another Peshat is that they had to sing along with him. But how could they muster up to beat a choir? They had to bend backwards. And another Peshat that I saw is, they were embarrassed that they couldn't do what he did. So they just like hid an embarrassment. So we learned that the family of Gamru was in charge of building, baking the lechem upon him. Says the Gemara, Beis Gamru became b'mayis lechem upon him. They were expert in baking the lechem upon him. Over yidasoi, and they knew how to take it out. For loylot sulam, but they refused to teach anyone else how to do it. Shochu chachamim, so the chachamim went and said, "We'll teach you." Vevi umnem Alexandria, they brought bakers from Alexandria. She became b'mayis lechem upon him. They knew how to bake it. They didn't know how to remove it from the oven properly. Says the Gemara, they let the bread bake completely inside, and then they took it out of the pan, and they knew how to take it out of the pan, even though it was completely baked, without breaking it, without cracking it. And that's why the bread didn't get moldy, because it had to be in the shulchan all week. They baked in the oven, but they took it out before it was completely baked, because taking it out was completely baked. They didn't know how to take it out when it was completely baked without cracking it. And since it was taken out not completely baked, it got moldy. So Masha explains, anyway we needed a nes, that the bread should stay fresh all week. But the less of a nes that we need to rely on, the better. So they, the Beis Gamru, required less of a nes. The Farshim also explained, how do we have Jewish bakers living in Alexandria? The Pasuk says you're not allowed to live in Mitzrayim. So the Pasuk can say a number of answers. One is that you're not allowed to go to Mitzrayim from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim. These people weren't going from Eretz Yisrael. The other teretz given is that the issa to live in Mitzrayim is only when most Jews live in Israel. At that time, most Jews weren't living in Israel. And a third pshat is that the Mitzrayim of today is not the Mitzrayim of that the Torah refers to, Shekva Olop Sancherev Ubil Belas Kalayim Kula. Sancherev switched around everybody from where they're from. Those aren't the real Egyptians. V'leirot Kivin Shiyod HaChachamim B'dov V'zeh. Once the Chachamim realized, Amakom Ha'ash HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'chvoy D'Bara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them this ability, Shenem HaKol Pa'al Hashem L'maneu, Shol Chachreim, so they wanted to, so it said, come back. They refused to come back until their wages were doubled. Says the Gemara, Yud Beis Hayimana Hayinaitlim. They used to get 12 mana for Nasanul Chavdala. They got doubled to 24. Yudam Chavdala Hayinaitlim. They used to get 24 for Nasanul Mamches, and now they got 48. The Farshim disagree if that was a daily wage or a weekly wage. Amlehem, Nei Ma Einatim Roitzim Le'almet. Why don't you want to teach anybody this craft? We have a Kabbalah from our forefathers. We have a Seinu. Shabbai says that also lecharev, that the Beis Hamikdash will be eventually destroyed. We don't want that other people should know how to make the bread and make this bread for the Avodah Zorah. This is, they are praised. Nobody in that family ate high quality bread. That they ate bread that they had from the lechem upon him. The first must say, the Gemara specifically says this after their wages were doubled, even though they got a very high wage, so they could have easily afforded this expensive bread. They refused to eat it, not that anybody should accuse them that they're eating from the lechem upon him. But Paiskim also discussed, we don't really have time to go into, here's the first time we find in the halacha the concept of a strike. They refused to come back. We have a concept of a strike. And there's a question of strike is mutan aloka. Beis aftinus al maisa aktiris. She beis aftinus al became a masa pitim aktiris. They knew how to make the aktiris. Ubamala oshin. Amala oshin, as we'll see, was this herb that they put in that into the aktiris. For the rotsalalami, they refused to teach anybody how to do it. Shochu vavi omnim Alexandria. She Mitzrayim. They brought different people from Mitzrayim. How he became a pitim aktiris. They knew how to make the aktiris. However, amala oshin lo became. They weren't expert in this herb. Shabes aftinus hoyimus tameris for oil kamakel. The base aftinus ktaris went up straight, and then paiseris for uredis, and then afterwards it spread and came back down, the smoke. The shalayla yipaisim yad. This, their herb spread right away. Kivin shiyad chacham bedava. Once Chazal realized that the base aftinus have this advantage, amar koma shakadosh baruch hu lechvay debara. Shnama kola nikr b'shvi lechvay debarosif. So Mefarshim asked, why by Beis Gamru does the Gemara use the pasuk of Kol Pa'al Hashem L'maneu? And here the Gemara uses the pasuk, a kala nikr b'shvi l'chvay d'brosif. So they answer. Beis Garmu had a real talent. They knew how to bake bread, that it should stay fresh. That's a talent. On that we say, kol pal Hashem l'maneyu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created talented people that they should use their talents for avodas Hashem. The Beis Aftinus didn't have any real talent. They just happened to know the identity of this specific herb. So you can't say that they were talented. It was just l'chvay d'brosif that they knew this grass that makes the smoke. Shochach Reim, so the Chazal went to call back Beis Aftinus, for Lairot's lover they refused to come. Atcha Kiflus Chum until their wages were doubled. Yubayz mana ha-yunaitlim, they used to take 12 mana, Nosno Chavtal, now they got 24. Yudah mechavtal ha-yunaitlim, they used to get 24, Nosno Memches, now they got 48. Amma menema einetim reitz l'lamit, why do you refuse to teach anybody this craft? Amma mesarisi b'yideim ha-vaseinu, we have this Kabbalah, Shabbai says that osu l'charev, the Beis Midrash will be destroyed, shloyim du achem, we don't want anybody else to learn it, v'yoysen kein l'avayda zara shalahem, and use it for the avayda zara. But there's one very praiseworthy thing about the Beis Aftinus. None of their wives ever wore perfume. Furthermore, if one of them did marry a woman from a different city, they made a condition up front when they got married that she should never be allowed to put on perfume. That they're using the ktiris for a perfume. The kaima shenemar, something we learned about earlier in the Masechta, the yisim nekim Hashem Yisrael. So Mefarshim ask, why by Beis Aftinus does the Gemara say they were so careful, the yisim nekim Hashem Yisrael? But Beis Garmu doesn't say it. So they say a wonderful teretz. Beis Garmu, what would we accuse them of? That they ate the lechem upon him. Edom lechem upon him is me'ilah. That's why they certainly were very careful in not eating bread, that nobody should accuse them that they were doing me'ilah. The Gemara says that kol umara v'reach, a voice, a perfume, there is no me'ilah. So even if they would have used that tyrus as a perfume, they wouldn't have done anything wrong. So they could have used it. Even they could have put on perfume. What would be the worst case? That they were accused that they put on perfume? There's nothing wrong. Still, the Yisim, the Kim, Hashem, Yisrael, they were careful not to use it. So it's a much higher madrega. I was once standing in Yerushalayim. I found a child from that family. From which family are you? From that family. My son. Your forefathers. They wanted to have more glory for themselves. And lessen the covered Shemayim because the Beis HaMikdash had to spend more money on paying them. At the end, they were left with nothing. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covered remains in its place. I was once collecting grass, I and a child from the family of Beis Aftinus. I saw the child laughing and crying at the same time. So I said to him, so why are you crying? My family had such an important position, and now it's all gone. Then I asked him, why are you laughing? But eventually it will return when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. Amari, so what did you see that caused this reaction? I saw this herb that causes that smoke to go up straight. So I told him, show it to me. Amari, so responded to me, Rebbe, we have this tradition. We don't show it to anybody. We were collecting grass. I met an older person from this family of Aftinus. And he was holding the recipe. What is the Mala Oshan? In previous generations, my forefathers were very careful. They used to give it generation to generation. However, now my family, different influences came. So Halach as a Megillah, you take this, Vizarba, be careful with it. Kshibasi Vertsesi had run with Nere Kiva. When I repeated the story to Rekiva, Zolgo Ein of the Mos, he cried. Now we see that the Beis Aftinus had very proper intentions. Alazal Praichas, we learned in the Mishnah, Alazal was in charge of the Praichas. Shemunah Oge Praichas, he was in charge of the people that wove the Praichas. Two new Praichas, which is the curtain that separates the Kodesh from the Kodesh HaGadoshim, were made every year. Pinchas HaMalbish, Pinchas of the Malbish, Shoyim Malbish Big Dei Kuna Gdol. He used to be the valet of the Kohanim. Says the Gemara, Mas B'Kohen Echad Shehilbish Listratis Achas, a Kohen once put on his clothing to an officer, the Nosnoi Shemona Zuvim, and he got paid 8 Zuvim for it. This Dami Trin Asnoi of Yavalei, he got paid 12 gold pieces. So Mepharshim asked, how could a Kohen put on the Big Dei Kuhuna on an officer? It's Me'ila. So a number of answers are given. One answer is that the Kohen was Meichel. He forgave, he allowed him to wear it, so there's no Me'ila. Not all the Mepharshim agree to that. So they say, different Peshatim. They say, Pinchas was the one that was the valet. He used to put on the clothing, take care of the clothing. The question is, why did they need to have that position? Says the Gemara, because there's once a Kohen that abused his begodim and let somebody else wear the begodim. So because of that, they had to appoint Pinchas to make sure that nobody would abuse the begodim. Another pshat is that the Gemara is trying to contrast the Kohanim to the everybody else, to the Beis Aftinus. Beis Aftinus, we just learned, was so careful, but the Kohanim weren't always so careful. And a fourth pshat I saw that the Gemara means is that Pinchas was such a wonderful tailor, and he put on this clothing on the Kohen that he looked so great after wearing him, that the Kohen paid him for making him look so good. Says the Mishnah, Ein Pachsin, Mishiva Amaklin, we don't have less than 7 supervisors, for Shloshi Gizbarim, and 3 treasurers. The Rabbit says, certainly there were more treasurers than supervisors. The Mishnah is only mentioning some of the supervisors. Vein Oysen Shral Atziba, we don't appoint a position on the tzibur, pachs mishnayim, less than 2 people. We'll see why in the Gemara. Chutz min ben Achyu shel choyli me'ayim. We learned yesterday about ben Achyu, who was in charge of the kahanim who got sick, chas v'shalom, v'lozal ha'proiches. Sh'oysen kiblu roi v'tzibur aleim. They were accepted by most of the people. So the Chasam Sofer explains the Mishnah like this. In the Mishnah, we mentioned yesterday 15 positions. One each. So he says like this. There were three categories. Some positions don't involve any expenditures. A position that doesn't involve any expenditure, one person could be involved with. The other positions in the Mishnah that involve expenditures, although the Mishnah only mentions one person, there were really 2 people, the Mishnah only mentions the more significant person, the more chashva person. These 2 positions, Achaya and Elazar, although it involved expenditures, but since they were not just appointed by a committee or by a yachid, it was Roi v'tzibur. The whole community accepted them. Once the whole community accepted them, then there is no din that it requires 2 people, that even one person could have the job. Says the Gemara, Ein Pachas Megimel Hasbarim, he can have less than 3 treasurers, Umazayin and Maklin, and 7 supervisors, Tani, and we learned in the Braisa, Mishnei Katlikin, 2 overseers over the supervisors, Hahudud Ksiv, V'yichir V'ziyah V'nachas, 3 people, they were the Gizbarim, Vashor, Vyimus, Vyazbut, Valiel, Vyasim Choyu, or Machas Binyol, 7 people were the Maklin. They were the supervisors, Pekidim, Miyat, Knanya, Vashimi, Achiv, Katlikim. They were the overseers. Bemifkad, Yecheskiyo, Amelech, Cheskiyo was the king, Vizraya, Nikid, Basil Kim, Azraya was the Kohen. Hamelech, a Kohen Godel. And that was the king and the Kohen Godel. Says the Gemara, when they had to seal something, Hagiv b'chaisim, first the treasurer sealed it, the noisim l'amakel, and he gives it to a supervisor. Amakel chaisim, then the supervisor seals it, the noisim l'katlik, and he gives it to the overseer. The noisim l'amelech, and he gives it to the kohen gadol. The kohen gadol chaisim, then the kohen gadol seals it, the noisim l'amelech, and he gives it to the king. But now when it comes to shemata, to open the seal, hamelech roi chaisim mater, first the king opens the seal, then the Kohen Gadol Roi Chos Meimata, then the Kohen Gadol opens up his seal. Then Katlikin Roi Chos Meimata, then the overseers open their seal. Amakel Roi Chos Meimata, The supervisors give the roich chosmi matter, and then the treasurer opens up his. So we learned in the Mishnah, ein oisin sroar al tzibur. We don't appoint people in a position that with money. Pachs mishnayim says the Gemara of Nachman Sherem Mona. Where do we see this? Al shem v'heim yichu as azov v'satchel v'sargomen. V'heim is a lashon rabbim, a minimum of two people. Erika B'chanan explains that the Kovit Shurim, since we learned earlier in the Masechta, the B'mashkin in Al-Shkolim, we used to take collateral, so that means we took from people their collateral, so we needed two people at least. Amar Rav Chama Be'er Rav Chanina. B'psoilish shaloi luchas, from Moshe Rabbeinu made the new luchas, and there were remnants of the marble, from that Heshem Moshe. Moshe became wealthy. Ha'hud Iksiv, P'solucha Shnei Luchas Avonim, P'solucha. The remnants, the dust, should be yours. There was a mine of stones and pearls in Moshe Rabbeinu's tent. Moshe got wealthy from it. So Mefarshim ask, here it says that Moshe Rabbeinu got wealthy later on. But the Gemara says in Masech in the Dorim that a Navi has to be a wealthy person. Here it says Moshe Rabbeinu only got wealthy by the Luchas Shnius. So I saw two answers to that question. The Leif Simcha answers that really Moshe Rabbeinu was wealthy from before. But by Bizas Hayam, when Klai Yisrael went through Yamsov, they got wealthier. If they got wealthier, Moshe Rabbeinu had to get wealthier. Everything is in proportion. So that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu made him wealthy at this time. Rav Zalman Sirotzkin in the Maznaim L'Torah takes a different approach. His approach is that until Klal Yisrael did the Aveira of the Ego, a Navi did not have to be wealthy. Because what's the reason a Navi has to be wealthy? Because wealthy people respect. But until Klal Yisrael did the Aveira of Ego Azov, wealth wasn't a measurement, wasn't a barometer of importance. Only after Klal Yisrael did the Aveira of the Ego, where wealth became something that's a factor. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, wealth is now a factor, so I have to make you rich, so people should respect you. But the Mayim Elimelech explains, P'sol L'cha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, even though I'm making you wealthy, treat wealth P'sol, like a P'solus, like it's not important. Remember that wealth is not what's important in life if you want to be a Manig Yisrael. Says the Gemara, K'siv, V'bita Acher Moshe, they used to look at Moshe, Ad boy ahola until he went back to his tent. Tren amaroyim. The two amaroyim that explain this pasuk. Charam lignai. One says that wasn't good. V'charam l'shvach. One praiseworthy. Mandam lignai. Haman shokin. They say, let's look at his thighs. Chaman karan. Look at his legs. Chaman kopet. Look at his flesh. Ochum in the yudoi. How do he get wealthy? Because he eats our food. V'shosm in the yudoi. He drinks our drink. Kom delem in the yudoi. Everything he has is because we gave it to him. Mandam l'shvach. And the one that explains it praiseworthy, Mechame Tzadikei, it's a schus, it's a great opportunity to see Tzadikim, Tavid Eschus L'machmi Yosei. We are fortunate that we saw the Tzadik. And the Mefarshim explained that there's a special inyan to see the face of a Tzadik. This is the basis for that, to look at a Tzadik. And in fact, the Tameim and Hogim brings down that if somebody wants to have a skula, a way to have to remember his learning. If he looks in the face of a tzaddik, it helps you to remember your learning. Says the Mishnah, Dalet Chesamas Hayibim Mikdash. There were four tokens in the base of Mikdash, the cost of Aleim, and they were written on them. Just a word of introduction. Every time a carbon was brought, based on which animal was used, Nesachim, which is oil and flour and oil for Karban Mincha, and wine had to be brought along. So depending on the animal, that's how much the sochem had to be brought along. Furthermore, the people in the Beis HaMikdash, the administrators of the Beis HaMikdash, did not want people to bring those ingredients from home. Why? Because an animal that you bring from home, a live animal, can't become tamei. But these ingredients can become tamei. So if everybody's going to start bringing from home, they may bring Tamei items to the Beis HaMikdash. So they wanted everybody to buy these items from the administrators of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah explains what was the process that they went through in buying these items. So says the Mishnah, Dal Chasam Asai B'Mikdash, there were four tokens, the cost of Aleim, and they were written, Egel, that's a calf, Zachar, Gedi V'Chayta. Ben Azay Aymer, Hey, how you? Ben Azay disagrees on two levels. First he says, there weren't four tokens, there were five tokens. Furthermore, for Aramis Kosovalim, they weren't written in Hebrew, they were written in Aramic, because that was the language that most people in those times understood. Egel, what does an Egel mean? Egel means somebody who brings the char. Egel means somebody brings a cattle. The char, if somebody brings ayol, which is a sheep 2 years old in the second year, Gedi is what was brought if somebody brought a younger sheep, a one-year-old sheep, or a goat. Chayte dal v'chayte asher. Chayte dal v'chayte asher means if somebody's a metzora, that when he has, when he completes, becomes tar and completes his process, he has to bring a carbon, but depending on his financial situations. If he's a wealthy person, he brings three animals, and he has to bring a lot more nesachim. If he's not wealthy, he only has to bring one animal, and he brings less nesachim. He brings just three lugim of shemen and wine, and one leg of oil extra, and that's why we had to mark him. So Mefarshim explain a few points. Ben Azay says there were five to differentiate between a wealthy person and a poor mitzayra. The Tanakhama doesn't differentiate. Why? Because the Tanakhama says that the only mitzayra we're concerned about is a wealthy mitzayra. Him, I'm concerned that he didn't do tshuva. But a poor mitzayra, who's anyway poor, I'm sure he did tshuva. Ben Azay says a mitzayra is a mitzayra, and he's a bal aveira, and that's why he has to do tshuva. But the Mefarshim ask, at what point are we talking about? The Chofetz Chaim asked this question. We're speaking that the person is already at the end of his process. So if he's end of his tahara process, he obviously did tshuva. So if he did tshuva, why are we still calling him chayta? Why are we publicizing that he did an aveira? So there are two answers given. One is that he's still considered a chayta. He's still considered a bal aveira until he completes the process and brings the kabbonis. And another answer is that David HaMelech says until him, V'chatosi l'negdi samid. A person, even who did an aveira, even if he does tshuva, he always has to remember the aveiras. That's the lesson of the Mishnah. Yes, you're doing your tahara. Yes, you came to this status. V'chaita, remember you were about aveira. Remember you always have to do tshuva. Says the Gemara. Ego Mishamish im nichsei bakar. The ego was what you brought when you brought cattle. Gedolim v'ktana makes no difference. It was a bigger animal, a small animal. Zecharim nekevus, male or female. Gedi mishamish im etzoin, when you brought sheep. Gedolim v'ktanim, zecharim v'nekevus. Chutz mishaleilim, unless you used a sheep in its second year. Ayo mishamish im nichsei elim. That's when you brought elim. Bilvad choyta. Elim bevad. I'm sorry, Mnichse Elim Bavan, only with Elim. Chayta Mashamish Mnichse Sholosh Behemish Shamitzaira. The Chayta was for somebody who brought three animals at wealthy Mitzaira. Mishim Vakish Nesachim. So exactly what happened. Somebody wanted to buy Nesachim. Hayachalai Etzel Yoichanan. Shumun Al Chasamis. He went to Yoichanan, who was in charge of the tokens. For Nesachim Lemoth, and would pay. Makava Menachos, and would get a token for it. Bola Etzel Achya. Then he would come to Achi, who was in charge of this. The nice Nechasim, give him the token. On Makabaman and Nesachim, and based on the token he gave, that was the Nesachim he received. At night they would meet. He would take out the tokens. On Makabal Kenegdim Moz. And they would reconcile the tokens with the amount of money that was received. Says the Mishnah, in Pichsu Pichsaloi, if there wasn't enough money to cover, Yisham Yoichanan Mibesai. Then Yoichanan had to take out from his own pocket to make up the deficit. The Mesiru, if there was extra, is Sirla Hegdish. Shiyad Hegdish Alayon, as we learned earlier, Hegdish always ends up on the better side of the coin. Says the Mishnah, Misha Avet Chaismai, if somebody lost his token, Mamtinalayat Erev, then we wait till the evening. If the exact amount that he lost corresponds to the amount that's missing, then they give him back the token and they say, this is obviously what you lost. But if it's not, and the Mefarshim explain, and not an exact match, even if it was more or less, if it's not an exact match, they didn't give it. Says the Mishnah, v'shem hayoyim kosvaleim, they had on the tokens the day of the week, m'neiramon, because of the swindlers. Why? So it's two pshatim. One pshat is, let's say somebody lost his token, and somebody else found it. So what's the person going to do? He's not going to come today with that token, because everybody knows that somebody lost the token. He'll wait a while, and then try to take advantage. So that's why we put the date, that only on that day you could use that token, so he has no point in not returning it to its rightful owner. Another pshat, Mipnei Ramon, is that people wanted to speculate, they wanted to do business with the tokens. They would buy tokens on the assumption that the price of the Nesachim was going up, and they had tokens at the lower price. But they didn't want that this should become a commodity which people did business with. So they purposely locked it in. They purposely said, you could only use the token that day. Don't start using this as a commodity to trade with.